We're like, okay, we got to switch our strategy in the theater ministry. And the Lord really sat me down and he said, Ben, which one of these kids, these hundreds of kids you're working with, which one of them don't have a father? I mean, this is fatherless Philadelphia, upwards 73% of kids not having fathers.
Wow.
And Ben, which one of the kids you're working with doesn't have a dad? And I said, none of them. They all have fathers. Yes, some of them are not right there present, but they're all alive. All the fathers were alive. And he says, then why are you usurping their authority? With the same zeal that you're going after the kids, go after their father, and I will give you what you need to do it.
Welcome to the Empowered Manhood Podcast, where men rediscover courageous masculinity. Pull up a chair as we gain strength from the stories of God working in the lives of ordinary men today. These men have discovered that in a world of superficiality and isolation, we need authentic brotherhood to gain strength for the battles we face every day. Brought to you by the ministry of CLC, which challenges men to an uncommon pursuit of Christ, welcome to Empowered Manhood. All right, guys, buckle up, and I'm serious. You are about to experience Ben Myers. And man, I don't know that I have ever met someone with more of a passion and fire in his belly for men and the role that they should be playing in the lives of their family, in being the priest of their homes, discipling their kids and their families. You are going to absolutely be blown away by this guy. So just a quick background, Ben and his wife, Felicita Myers, parents of six, are passionate about raising up their children in the Lord, all the while encouraging dads and moms, but he likes to focus on dads, to do the same. They founded Inner City Movement / Theater 7000, located in Upper Darby, PA. There, they combine this passion for discipleship with the arts and have created a unique, immersive space where youth and families participate in dramatizing the scriptures. They've created the world's first 360-degree projection dome for live theater with moving seats, wind, mist, bubbles, and flying actors. Man, when I heard this, I'm like, I got to check this out someday. I'm hoping to make a trip out and see this. They, along with a team of incredible people, produce professional-level productions using Actors Bible that feature the youth and their families as an outreach to the greater Philadelphia region. So Ben and his wife, Felicita, are founders of the ministry Actors Bible, and that's obviously a little bit about it, but you're going to hear much more about his heart behind discipling families and men playing that primary role of discipling their families in a very unique way through drama. So this is going to be interesting, and I'm telling you guys, you are going to be blown away by this guy's perspective, by Ben's perspective. So real quick, before we jump in though, I want to remind you that we are a listener-supported podcast, so if you would like to come alongside of us and partner with us, CLC, in our discipleship ministry to men all over the world, we would be so grateful. And you can go to our homepage to do that at clchq.org. On the top right-hand side, you click the blue donate button. It brings up another screen with a box, and you put, you know, how much you want to give. And then you click the drop-down menu, which will then allow you to designate the funds to the National Fund. And then in the comments, just type in there, Empowered Manhood. That way we know that you found us through the podcast. And then lastly, my very first book is coming out this Tuesday, February 21st. It's entitled Manhood Empowered by the Light of the Gospel, a combination of me telling my story and then expressing the things I've learned through over 20 years of discipling men, where I talk about the three stages of empowered manhood, which is to be known by God, grown by God, and owned by God. There's also an accompanying digital course that comes with it, for free, that I get to walk you through chapter by chapter the content in the book, offer suggestions on how to apply it, and then resources for you to be able to take next steps as immediately as possible. I wanted this book to be as practical as possible. There's a section in there where you can take notes and answer questions. It's kind of like a workbook and book all in one, so you don't have to buy a separate workbook. I hate when I have to do that personally. So you can go on Amazon right now to pre-order. All right, guys, it's enough of me. Let's go ahead and jump in now. And man, whew, like I said, strap in. Here is our interview with Ben Myers. Ben Myers, welcome to the Empowered Manhood Podcast. Brother, we are happy to have you, man.
Thank you so much, Mike. I appreciate being here. This is awesome. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah. So, man, do you have an incredible ministry? Holy cow, Ben. I'm really excited to talk about it. I'm excited for our listeners to hear about it. I think it's extremely unique yet needed because your heart very much is partnered with ours in the sense that with CLC, we are all about discipleship, men's discipleship. And you have created this tool, I think, that will be a huge benefit, or has been a huge benefit, and hopefully will be a big benefit to our listeners who are dads and fathers in discipling really the most important people they have to disciple, and that's their own family. So Amen. Really, really looking forward to this conversation. So, but before we get started, Ben, let's start with your fence post story. We'd love to hear a little bit about you. And just as a reminder to those, for first time listeners, what we talk about when we say fence post story, we're talking about imagine a fence along a property. You've got the horizontal pieces, but they're held up by those vertical pieces that are, you know, entrenched in the ground. And they represent, in a metaphorical way, they represent the significant moments in our lives or the significant people in our lives that make us who we are today. So, Ben, we'd love to hear a few of your fence posts. Get to know you a little bit better.
Great. Awesome. Thanks so much for this opportunity to share. So, growing up in Fort Wayne, Indiana, I was a part of a ministry there that really did a lot of outreach through the arts. And so that was my teenage years. And so I got excited to play Jesus and many different plays and mime. And we would come out to Philadelphia to do outreach and partner with a ministry called Inner City Missions in the Kensington section of Philadelphia, which is known for the drug addiction and prostitution and really kids that are struggling and many people struggling with addictions. And so we began to work with Felicitas, my wife. She would become my wife, her father's ministry there. And he would often do tent crusades right there at 4th and Lehigh. And we would come in and we saw how the preached word was not really received with the younger ones. But as soon as we began to do performing arts, my wife did dance, like liturgical worship style dance. And I did mime human video to songs and plays and things like that. Oh, cool. So we would combine it to really present the gospel, and kids would just like would flock to us. And we were like, wow, this is a really cool opportunity to disciple them and to get them into presentations. And so we really organically out of our house, I moved from Fort Wayne, Indiana, because I just fell in love with God and the city and the kids. And just it was so much different than, you know, Cornfield, Indiana, where I grew up. And I felt called. I really did felt led out to do urban ministry in Philadelphia. And I married the director's daughter, Felicita. And we began to disciple right out of our house in that same area, bought a house in that area and discipled. I worked a full-time job as well in communicative in cellular industry, and then poured myself into the inner city ministry as well. And that really grew, and we became our own 501c3 ministry at that time. As it was growing, traveled around greater Philadelphia area, equipping churches how they could use the arts to both disciple and evangelize, right, their own young people within their churches. So did that for many years, and then we got tired, and we were like, wow, we need a place to really set up permanently. And so that's when we discovered a 1920s old movie palace that we went into. It used to be a 1600 seat movie theater. And we began to renovate it, and it was really rough though. Still, it was void of HVAC and stuff, but we, you know, hundreds and hundreds of kids discipling them, really acting out the Bible. A lot of times it would be allegory, like a superhero retelling of the Gospels or the Book of Acts. But the Lord kept bringing us, like drawing us into just doing his word. At the same time, we were without kids, and my wife was a social worker by profession. And she really saw how the social work was like doing a disservice to the children, as far as there was a lot of quotas and, you know, she wasn't comfortable getting some of the parents that they wanted her to match the kids with. So she ended up just really feeling called, as well as I was, to leave our job and to do full-time ministry in this. So as I went, I left my job, I think it was like 2014. And then my wife did just like 2 months after that, and we were full-time into ministry. But we were still without children. And the number one thing that my wife knew, if there was anything she knew that God wanted her to be, it was a mother. And as years went on where there was no kids, and we were trying to, we didn't want to have kids to begin with, and we wanted to travel and do all the selfish things that you could do. And then when we started to really want children, we couldn't have them. Like it wasn't happening. And so that really broke my wife's heart. We would date at the laundromat ever since we were, you know, dating, and we would go there and she would find baby socks in the laundry at somebody else. Like it would get mixed up into our laundry, and she would just like hold it on her pillow as an intercession, like Hannah to the Lord, like, I want a child.
Yeah.
And pretty soon they came. After that cry, I believe, of desperation. And once they started coming, they started coming. And so we now have 7 children, ages 12 and younger, currently. But as we were like first starting to have them, the Lord really did a work in my life. I played Jesus in so many shows, and I just was raised in that culture where I just felt like I was good enough the way I was. Like, oh yeah, I love Jesus. I'm a Christian. And I never really knew my need for his atoning work that he did. And so when I first found out that my daughter was coming into the world, it shook me to the core. Like I was so excited. And then the fear of the Lord gripped me. That was like, oh wait, my sins are going to have a direct impact on this new life, my precious daughter.
Yes.
And the fear of the Lord gripped so like I was okay with the hypocrisy of like me sinning and just like having the secret life of sin, of loving my sin, practicing my sin, keeping it to myself and it only impacting me. But as soon as I knew enough that that scripture says that to the third and the fourth generation, the iniquity of the father, the holy terror came upon me, and he thrust me into his word. And for 9 months, I read through the Bible with trembling hands from the beginning to the end 3 times. It was either 2 or 3 times, and underlining and just circling. And the God's big story was just exploding before me. And I was like, why have I never read the Bible before? Why have I never, like all these years of ministry, like, and why did I, have I not devoured God's word in this way, in a chronological way where I now knew him? I knew what he wanted. I knew what he expected of me. I knew the glory of his gospel painted on the backdrop of the wickedness of my heart and my dire need for his salvation. And in that time, I surrendered. When my daughter was delivered, 9 months later, so was I. And I was delivered from my life of wickedness. And though I had led a ministry with hundreds and hundreds of children, I mean, this is straight Romans chapter 1, like you think you're a teacher of children, but you are wicked. And so it wasn't until becoming a father and God's word just radically shifted my life, where I surrendered and I closed my eyes. And now that part that I would play Jesus on the cross all those times, but never knew my need for his atoning work. Now I saw him on the cross taking my full weight of my sin and my punishment. I've surrendered my life, and things have been radically different after that. Soon after that, after I was born again at the age of 30 with a new daughter, coming, I continue to pour myself over scripture, but I saw the Bible as a show, a production. And here I was in theater doing productions. And so this is the way the Lord really spoke to me. Like he's written a script, he's casted parts. He has a part for each one of us to play. And he's the one who gets to set the parameters on that. He has male, female, Jew, Gentile, and it's this epic show. And if we play on children and parents and all these roles that he's prescribed, and we don't get to make this stuff up. It's like he's the producer. He's contracted us to play the director role as dads, and we're going to be held accountable to how we've rehearsed the script, the scriptures, with those that he's entrusted with us And so as we began I saw this, I'm like, oh, well, how do I make disciples of my children, Lord? Help. Like, how do I do this? And I found out that it was normative 100 years ago for dads to get up in the morning, spend time with God, and then lead something called family worship. I was like, what's family worship? Like, this is so foreign to me. I've never heard of this before. And I found out it was simply pray a prayer, read a text, sing a song, and talk about it. I was like, I could do this. So I gathered my young family at the time. And as I began to pontificate, I saw my family check out, my wife distracted.
Yes.
One kid having a bathroom malfunction. And she's like, no one wants to listen to this. They're like, help God. And he said, cast parts like you do in the theater ministry. I said, okay, you're Abraham, you're Sarah, you're Lot, you're the sheep. And everyone got so excited, ran around the house, got costumes, props, little things to bring that we had around the house to bring the Bible to life. Hmm. And it was explosive. And afterwards, I was studying at that same time, like really missional disciple making globally of orality, of telling a story, and then asking these questions. If this be true, what did you learn about God's character? What did you learn about the other characters? And what will you obey? So I was like, okay, let's do this. And I would ask these questions, and the Holy Spirit would be teaching us in this tender Bible discovery method. And we would take the most important part of the text of that chapter and then turn it into a little song or jingle so that we would memorize it. And like the Bible just came to life, and I was washing my wife with the word, my responsibility, discipling my children, the fear and the admonition of the Lord. I was doing that. Make disciples of all people, starting in your nearest, which is in your home. And that's what I was doing. I was like, wow, this is really powerful. And so we went through the whole Bible, just circling those stories that we did, putting the name next to it, who played what part, so we could remember that. And we were just like constantly singing God's word and applying it and obeying God's word through obedience-based discipleship. We're like, okay, we got to switch our strategy in the theater ministry. And the Lord really sat me down and he said, Ben, which one of these kids, these hundreds of kids you're working with, which one of them don't have a father? I mean, this is fatherless Philadelphia, upward 73% of kids not having fathers.
Wow.
It says, Ben, which one of the kids you're working with doesn't have a dad? And I said, none of them. They all have fathers. Yes, some of them are not right there present, but they're all alive. All the kids that I was working with were alive. All the fathers were alive. And he says, then why are you usurping their authority? With the same zeal that you're going after the kids, go after their father, and I will give you what you need to do it. And so I began to completely change my vision of, I'm not going to, like, for all those years, we were really trying to usurp the father's authority and like, I'll be your spiritual champion. I'll disciple you. And we saw upwards of 70 to 80% of the young people after they left our program, no longer walking in the faith and really being sucked into the world. And the ones that stayed were the ones that had dads playing that spiritual leadership role. And so it's like, here I was pouring out the strength of my youth. It didn't stick anyways. And it's like, and I wasn't even born again yet, truth be told, when I was doing all that. And so the Lord radically shifted me through the Bible and becoming a father. He says, Ben, I will do the same thing through every father you intentionally go after. And what if the church began to switch our gauge from the billions of dollars that we fund into youth ministry and shift it all into the dad? Because if a dad comes to faith first, his whole family will as well, is the proof of the statistics. And so that's what we've begun to shift with now is, yeah, we're still doing theater ministry. And so as we begin to shift that into our theater programming, it's now dad was required to come. And I would, you know, sit down with dads with cheesesteaks and talk to them about how the producer director has casted him to play the leading role in his children's spiritual formation. There's no understudy. There's no one that can play his role. God has casted him to do this. The curtain's going up, break a leg. I'm here to support you. So we began to really shift into that way. And at the same time, we were launching a renovation of the theater. We started in a tent, and now the Lord was drawing us back to a tent, really reaching young people with cutting edge technology, but now families, reaching dads and their families with this technology. We have a 360-degree projection dome with moving seats, wind sent, mist snow flying actors. And we traveled as a family. We went on a quest to go to Israel, Turkey, Egypt, Greece. We captured in 360 high-end imagery of the Bible locations where the stories took place, put it into the app that we've created. Because we're like, as we went through it as a family through the Bible, role-playing it out, we're like, we have to do this as an app. So any dad out there, and as we're helping dads at the theater ministry do this, they'll be able to, like, it's just a turnkey thing. Yes, they can make it their own still, because that's important for dads, but they'll have a pre-packaged way. How do I make disciples? Here's how you make disciples, the way Jesus did, one story at a time, one day at a time, role playing, you know, dramatically bringing the word to life and holding them to obey everything that he's commanded. So we put it into an app, and then it's as the app is robust enough that it can drive your family worship with a flat screen TV or an iPhone on your or a phone in your living room, or as robust as 7 projectors with moving seats. And that Actors Bible app runs that as well too at our theater ministry here in Philadelphia. And we're really beginning to go across the country and sharing it as well. But yeah, we really believe that God has called fathers to lead in this way. There's nothing more important versus male and females. We just have distinct roles before the Lord that we will be held accountable for. So it's a privilege really just to share this with men and seeing how God, even where people said it's not possible in Philadelphia, you know, but God is using the least things to confound the wise. And if it can happen here, and I believe that's why God brought us to inner city Philadelphia, if it can happen here, it can happen anywhere. So that's my dude. Fence post. So now I didn't really have, my father wasn't trained. So I looked back at why was there 30 years of dysfunction in my life that I thought I was good enough the way I was? And I was, oh yeah, I love Jesus, but really I love my sin. Like, how was that possible? And as I looked back, it was, I did not have a daily dose of God's word delivered faithfully by my father. We went to church on Sunday, but the rest of the week was really rough because we were void of God's word. You know, my father tried to, and things shut him down. I won't speak too much more about that, but he was not discipled. No, he was a first generational believer. No men came around him and said, look, this is how you're going to begin to lead your family. God has casted you to play this role. No understudy. Like, let's go. Let's equip you for your work of your ministry calling in the home. And so because that didn't happen, it really, I was void. My family was void of God's word. We were starving, and I didn't know the gospel. Though we looked beautiful on Sunday mornings, we were dysfunctional to the core. And so I began to cry in my heart, and I believe this is the Lord's cry. What if we begin to contend for fathers to be mentored by older men in the faith, pastors, that this becomes the number one goal? You know, 100 years ago, again, 200 years ago, fathers, pastors came into homes, and their number one job really was to equip the father to lead family worship. If he came back and found that that father was not leading in that way, he severely was rebuked, and that father was now, you know, warned. And if it came back and there was still no evidence that that father was leading family worship, he was actually not allowed to participate in the Lord's Supper. And that's how seriously, you know, leadership in the church, in the kingdom, took men leading well as pastors of their own home. And men, as I begin to talk to fathers this way, lights are going off. Like, the reason why we are so void of men in the churches is because they don't have the quest. They don't have that adventure that they've been called to. So they find it in the career or in the sports or all these other things. But all we have to do is say, you know, God has this incredible adventure for you, and it's found in your family. And your family is the adventure. It is the quest. It is that daily washing your wife with the word, and raising your children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, one day at a time, one story at a time, making disciples. So that's my story. I'm just a dad contending for my own kids. And I'm saying, as many other dads that want to come along in the process, come on.
Brother, sign me up. I mean, dude, we were talking before this interview, and I was saying, man, I really enjoy theater people. And man, did you just have that on display? What a compelling presentation of your mission and what you guys are trying to accomplish, man. Oh my gosh. I know, guys, you're listening there, and so many things you said, Ben, just were like, oh, I feel that. Oh, yes. Wow, yes. Like, just over and over again. That's incredible. Thank you. Thank you for that story. And there's so many guys who've, what I think of is as you were describing, is men, include myself in this, okay? Because I've struggled with this myself, feeling that deep sense of insecurity and lack of confidence, in handling the word, deep insecurity about leading our families. We hear it all the time, but just to get past that awkward stage, you know, because most men, and you guys, I know you can relate to this. Let's say you haven't been doing it. And so you start and you bring your family together. What's the first thing you're going to get is you get looks from your family of disbelief, mistrust, and maybe antagonism, you know, and it just squelches your effort right away, you know? Anyway, so just, man, amazing. And I'm really excited for guys to hear more about this. So
praise God. Thank you.
Ben, I got a lot of questions, but the first thing I want to cover is something that's going to come to a lot of guys' minds, which is that if I start this initiative at home, I'm going to be competing with a lot of other media, right? Mm. Because our kids are, you know, they're immersed in media these days. They've got it on TV. They've, you know, if they have phones or tablets, they're seeing some there. And it's tough to compete. I mean, I think back to, you know, 20, 30 years ago. I mean, we've had Christian media on the radio first with Adventures in Odyssey, right? So we've had, which, you know, I didn't listen to it a lot, but it wasn't bad, right? I mean, it was, you know, for a radio show, it was pretty engaging. We've had VeggieTales. We've had a lot of stuff on TV. And so if I'm going to start something like this at home, like Mike said, I mean, the looks on, you know, the kids might be like, what is this? You know, let me just watch VeggieTales. Let me watch something else on TV. So can you talk a little bit about, you know, how you can overcome this in your home? What does this offer that's going to be more captivating and more engaging for your kids than what they've seen before?
Yeah. It's time spent with you.
Okay.
And so that's what every child is hungering for. And as soon as dad gives their child attention and fun through becoming a child himself in heart, you know, you don't have to give dad much persuasion to get on the floor and start tussling and letting them ride you like a donkey as you're role playing Jesus through the streets of Jerusalem. Like it's so marking for the dad as well as the child. And that's why Jesus says, unless you become a little like a little child, you surely cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's, you know, for that childlike faith. And so that's when the kids are going to, after the first time, they're going to beg dad for the second. Now, we really have something called a Director Dad program. So right there on Actors Bible, you can sign up and click on Director Dad and sign up for that. And you get a vision casting call where you hear how you have been, according to scripture, casted to play this role as director. And then also, and it's like an hour and a half, really training for dads to get excited about, like, I know nobody ever talked to me like this. And we do it over Zoom and this is incredible. And I'm excited and they get amped up. And then at the end of that time, we give them a contract that it's a mock contract from the producer God to the director, the dad, that he's got this new job and he takes it to his family. And he's like, guys, I got a new job. I'm going to be a director for this show, My Family's Eternal Spiritual Life. And we're going to rehearse daily. And I'm going to connect with the producer, God the Father, on regular prayer times, and he's going to lead me. But I need your help. And I'm sorry that I haven't been leading this way before. Forgive me. But this group of men has encouraged me that this is my job. This is the most important work that I'll ever do, is leading my family in the Word. And so I need your help. And so we walk the dad through of repenting to his family, of not leading, really talking to his leading lady, his wife. And the contract says you're going to give her a trailer with in her dressing room, flowers on a regular basis, really pressing into that terminology of theater, really. Because dads, and the reason why we say director dad is dads sometimes shy away from like drama or role play, but if they know they're the director to, and their job is to direct and disciple their family towards God through his script, the scriptures, he gets excited about, okay, I don't have to be too dramatic, but I can direct. My job is to make sure that family Bible time happens. Mm-hmm. That's my job. Got it. I could do that. So we call it director dad. Mm-hmm. And then they can go through a 21-day family meeting challenge where for the next 21 days, so the family's already been brought up to snuff. They know what's going on. Dad really says this is important. And now he's talked with mom. They found out the best time to do this. Mom knows the schedule usually better than dad. They're spending 15, 20 minutes a day for the next 21 days, strengthening that muscle of having regular Bible devotions in the home led by dad. And so that's what
and so
we've
you're
seen
saying real quick, you're saying that dad, if dad he can play a director role versus an actor role. Does that make is that kind of what you're saying? Or he can be, like you said, the actor.
He can be both. And we encourage both, but often director dad, like if we get a lot of pushback and we just say, hey, your main job is to make sure it happens. You can cast your wife as two parts, your children, your three children, you can cast them as one or two parts and you don't have to play any role, but you need to make sure that this happens. But I do encourage dads to play the narrator role or the Jesus part, because really men have been casted by God to really showcase the Father as well as Jesus, the role of that in the home so that the gospel can be shown. And the wife is the bride of Christ, that imagery of her submitting to the leadership of her husband as he submits to Christ. So there is really a gospel presentation going on in the home anyways, if we're living according to scripture, and that prepares us all to be the sons of God, children of God, the bride of Christ, as we will forever be these roles. And that's why it's important for us to play our parts on a daily basis, as well as to play the, to rehearse the scriptures so we can all apply the character. By the third or fourth day, after you've overcome challenges of some older kids, some of the families will have a 13, 15-year-old and have a 5-year-old, a 7-year-old. Some of the times there's resistance from the older ones. And so that's why we have the brotherhood of director dad, to one father really intentionally discipling another. And it's not even discipling. It's just kickstarting him in his 30-day rotation of getting going, of his vision casting call, the 21-day challenge. And then as soon as you can overcome some of that in prayer, And that's why 21 days is so important. You really form this habit of going forward that the whole family is on board, that other media is like, it's okay. I'd rather have family worship is really the response we have.
So just to clarify, are you saying there's actually a coach that's kind of assigned to dad as he goes through that 21 days? So who's kind of helping him walk through it? And really, all that, now that is really cool. Okay.
I can even see, as that person's coach, I can see as soon as, so if somebody signs up to director dad, if I invite them personally, I'm assigned their coach. But if somebody just signs up on the website, it's a pool of men and whoever's gone through the training can just zap up whoever, like pick up another person at any time. And as soon as both parties have given permission, that you can see your disciplee or the guy you're kickstarting in his director role, you can see how many times they're going in to lead family worship. And if they're struggling, if they're missing more than, you know, 3 or 4 times, you can pick up the phone like, hey, brother, talk to me. What's going on? Let's really. And so there's that accountability structure that we could equip pastors again with, of saying like, this is your most important job, dad. Like, let's equip you so that you can serve in the household of God after you've been approved by your own family and doing this hard work that really prepares you to lead in the household of God. And if this becomes the litmus test again, like, come on, we're going to get our houses in order. We're going to get our churches in order. And that's when we can bring the lost into the mix of what that looks like.
So Ben, you know, I when you said that you're more likely to get some resistance from older kids, that that's what one thing I thought of immediately was that, you know, for a couple of reasons. One, these kids have seen you in action for longer than any other kids in your family, right? So they've been 14, 15, 16 years without you really, you know, fulfilling your role as a father in many cases. So there's going to be a little bit of resistance there, but also these kids are scheduled out, right? I mean, they've got soccer, they've got music, they've got this, they got their friends, maybe they're getting to the point where they're starting to drive. So what are some things that you have found works well in bringing your older kids around to, you know, from going from resisting initially to actually being full-hearted participants in this initiative?
Yeah. So I don't have that hands-on practice with my own family because I've been with them doing this from three up. So they've walked with me. With the fathers who have older ones and all of a sudden they're making a hard turn and like, hey, you know, and that's why the support of the other father and the other family. So what we do often is if the families are in the same location city-wise, mm-hmm. we'll actually have the one family invite the other family over at the end of the 21 days for what we call a dinner and a show. Mm-hmm. And those 21 stories that happen in that time period walk those families through the gospel. It's 21 scenes from Genesis to Revelation. So you get the overarching story. Mm. It's straight scripture, but formulated as a script. And that family now can take a chunk of that and do it as a just a fun, like families do games like charades in a dinner with another family. This is like Bible charades. You're just coming over, you know, it's largely our family that'll play the roles, but we'll, you know, who wants to play this with the other family? Some of them will jump in and make it fun. And we'll do like five scenes out of the 21 that really we feel shows the story of Christ. And at the end of that time, that family is so excited of that vision casting that now when we equip dad with the tools on that vision casting call of really how do you overcome the older ones, that kid has now had a vision. That 13, 14-year-old had a vision of that other family doing that. Like, wow, that family looks so – like they look like really strong and like kids like really see authentic families and like they know they know fake and they really can discern that, and in their heart they really want that as well too, so it doesn't take as long as they've seen it. And we have other ways to do it where we have like a Zoom time where our family shares it in that way too, with either our past work that we've theatrically done the 21 stories in a kind of a back and forth between our home living room and then a theater show where it's that same story, but now our imagination is whisking us into like a more of a biblical set. We just came back from Israel a couple months ago where we filmed 12 stories around the Sea of Galilee, actually enacting the Bible stories where they actually took place. And it flip-flops between our living room having family devotions, and then our imagination takes us on site and the miracles come to life. So that's fun for families to see that too, before they go into this 21 days, so that it's really setting the tone. Like, this is the vision, this is what we're doing, and we are going to make family worship a key and a hinge point of our family's life and our trajectory. Because the church, like, dads really just need to get stirred up, because right now the studies show that we're losing 80% of our young people in the church by their first year of college. Yep. It's like, okay, which six of my seven children am I okay going to hell? And I'm just not. Like, I'm not. And there's a growing move of men that are taking back the reins of spiritually leading in their homes. And all they need is an hour talking to of this is serious business. This is your quest. This is your job. And it all boils down to one thing. Like, I'm not the male coach of physical and finances and all these. I'm not trying to do that, because I know what happens if you get the word of God into a man's heart and then you tell him you're the leader, you're responsible, blessings if you do, curses if you do not, in this life and in the age to come. And let's begin to contend for our families in this way. And so whatever we have to shut off and pull back, as painful as it might be, it's, you know, it's the surgery that needs to happen so that the cancer does not creep in and kill us. So that I'm just a bit passionate That's about great. It.
Because we really? I couldn't tell.
We can't do business as usual. We just can't.
Yeah.
The hour is urgent. The day is late. It is.
All right, guys, that is all the time we have for this episode, our first half of our interview with Ben Myers. We'll come back for the second half on Friday. And Ben will get into a little bit more detail about Actors Bible and how potentially, if you're interested in making this happen for your family, what that takes and some of the common challenges involved in that. Until then, keep living empowered.